Thank you. It's so nice to be with you. This is my first time to Calvary Chapel, West Seattle. So, in fact, I think it might have been my first or second time to West Seattle. Even coming over the bridge, I thought, oh, I never go here, you know, this place. And so it's lovely to be with you. I really thank Pastor Randy for giving me this opportunity. Also want to thank you. You might not know about it, but your church gave a large donation to a training of Mongolians that happened in January of this year. And I just want to say thank you very much for that publicly. Thank you, Randy. As Randy said, I actually have been in missions for 43 years. I've been a pastor, and I'm right now currently a pastor at Cascade Church, an associate pastor. But most of my time, 30% of my time is given to the church, 70% of my time is given to world missions, international missions. I've been to about 47 countries, 48, somewhere in there now, and sharing the good news as well as training pastors and leaders. So it's a privilege to be with you, see your church, to be with you. And I feel like today, as I've been praying, Randy said, you know, go ahead and share what you want. I just wanted to share. I have one time to do this, so I wanted to share on God's heart for world missions. And let me tell you, when I say that, I realize that nobody really understands God's heart. It's so immense, so great, so powerful that, you know, nobody can completely understand. And so we're going to look at scriptures that point us to the heart of the Lord regarding his call for the gospel to go to all peoples. But let's start with prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you today that we come before you. We thank you that we can know you today. What a privilege it is. And what a privilege it is to meet together as part of the body of Christ and to learn from one another and fellowship together and hear your word and worship you and focus on you, Lord, today. Lord, would you give us eyes that could see today, ears that can hear, and hearts that could understand your word and respond to it. Lord, we open the door of our hearts. And we give you the freedom to deal with us at whatever level you would want to deal with us today. Holy Spirit, just come and walk among us. Lord Jesus, just come and be here. Would you minister your grace, your love, your revelations to all of us today? Lord, we look to you and our eyes are upon you. Lord, we do not know how to live the way you want us to live, but our eyes are on you and we're seeking your face and we want to grow closer to you today. We just pray that you would be glorified. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead us into all truth. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Actually, my wife and I leave tomorrow for Europe. We'll be gone for 3 weeks in the country of Holland, and she is Dutch, and we'll be seeing some of her family as well as a Dutch church that stands with us, some individuals, and I'll be doing some ministry along the time with that. But let's focus on God's heart cry for world missions. Throughout history, missions has always been on the heart of God. From the call of Abram in the book of Genesis to John's vision in the book of Revelations, the Bible is God's account of what he's done to bring his salvation to the ends of the earth. God the Father had one son who became the greatest missionary who ever lived. Just think about that. He left perfect heaven. Come on, computer, do it.
Bad computer day today. It
for some reason doesn't want to be. There we go. Thank you. I appreciate that. He left perfect heaven to be a part of the imperfect human race. That was the biggest cross-culture adjustment made by anyone. And he did this to open a way for men to come to God through his death and resurrection. And he made this incredible sacrifice because of his great love for all the world. God the Father, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You see, it was his amazing love for fallen man that motivated God to send his one and only Son to die on a cross for all mankind. And the Bible is a record of how God has been doing missions since the very beginning of time. How is he doing it, and how is he doing it now, and how he will do it in the future. In the Bible, we find God's call to world missions, the command, God's message of salvation, the good news, God's examples of missions, his ways, and God's power to complete the task, his provision, and his promises. And God is so intent on fulfilling his missionary purposes that one day all the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdoms of our God. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, the Bible says, then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And this prophecy speaks about the end result of a rebellious world coming under God's authority. Nothing or no one will be able to stop God from fulfilling his promise. So let's start today by looking at the Abrahamic covenant. Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I'll make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I'll bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You see, in this short three verses, God reveals one of his purposes for the rest of history, world evangelization. We can clearly see God's missionary heart for all the world here, that all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. And this phrase, all peoples, is repeated throughout the Bible many times because God wants the good news to go to all the world, every people group. So all peoples on the earth, as we probably all know, is talking about the Savior of the world who would be a descendant of Abram. The Messiah who would come and die for the sins of the world, providing redemption and salvation for all mankind, past, present, and future. And therefore, all peoples on the earth will be blessed through Jesus, who would come from Abram's lineage. And God was revealing to Abraham his all peoples missionary purpose. And this covenant was not just for the Jewish nation, but for everyone. The blessing of Abraham was poured out upon the Gentiles too, and that includes you and me. Paul even refers to it when he's talking to the church in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. He says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel, notice what he calls it, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So Paul calls this promise that all nations will be blessed through you, he calls it the gospel. The Messiah coming to die for the sins of the world. So the gospel can be summed up in God's all people's missionary purposes. God's plan for world salvation and discipling the nations are the basis of the gospel. That is the central theme in the Word of God, the good news, that through Abram's lineage, the Messiah would come, who will bless all peoples by paying the price for man's sin. So the Abrahamic covenant is proof that ever since the beginning of time, our God was and is and will be a missionary God. So let's take a look at God's plan for world missions in the Old Testament. Let's look at his all people's promises. Do you remember the time when Abraham pleads with God to spare Sodom? The Lord said to the angels that were with him, "Shall I hide from Abraham what am I about to do?" And in Genesis 18:18, the Bible says, "Seeing that Abraham shall become a great and mighty nation, and that all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." In Genesis 22, when God tested Abraham by telling him to take his only son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice, Abraham immediately set out to obey God. And when he was about to slay his son, the Lord said to him, "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Instead, sacrifice the ram caught in the bush." And then God said, "Because you have done this," speaking to Abraham, "and have not withheld your son, Isaac, then this is what I will do," in Genesis 22, verse 17 and 18. "I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heavens and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all nations on the earth be blessed." Why? Because you obeyed my voice. So God's promise was given to Abraham many, many times. And his promise was even passed down to Abraham's descendants because it was a generational promise. God said to Isaac, Abraham's son, in Genesis 26, verse 4, he says, "I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heavens and will give to your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." God was saying that I'm going to make your descendants more numerous than you can count. And through them, all the nations will be blessed. The Lord passed on this promise to Isaac's son, Jacob. He said in Genesis 28, verse 14, "Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you'll spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And so God is painting a picture of many people coming from your lineage, and that through your offspring, all the families on the earth will be blessed. God's all people promise was even declared to heathen kings. Think about that. Moses said to Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 9, verse 16, "But for this purpose I raised you up, to show my power, so that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." So God allowed Pharaoh to stay in power in Egypt so he could have his name proclaimed through all the earth. Think about in the book of Deuteronomy, when Moses was sharing with the Israelites, they were on the east side of the Jordan River, about to cross into their promised land. And the Lord said through Moses in Deuteronomy 28, verse 9 and 10, he said, "The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, so all the peoples on the earth will see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you." So this was a promise that if they kept God's commands and walked in his ways, then all people on the earth will know that you're called by my name. It was a testimony to all people that the Israelites belonged to the living God. Do you remember the time when it was God decided to bring Israel into the promised land, and they were going to cross the Jordan River into the promised land? Joshua, now Moses passed away, Joshua, the new leader, stands up and says to the Israelites in Joshua 4, verse 23 and 24, "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples on the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever." So God held back the River Jordan so that all the peoples on the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. Do you remember when the king of Assyria was threatening to attack Judah? And King Hezekiah, which you're going to be learning about very soon, King Hezekiah prayed, showing that he understood God's purposes would be shown to the whole world. In 2 Kings 19:19. "So now, O Lord, our God, save us, please, from his hand," who is that? The king of Assyria, "that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone." So Hezekiah was facing an invasion by a vast army, and he cries out to God's help. Why? "So that all the kingdoms on the earth may know that you are God." Think about King Solomon, who was given great wisdom and riches. And in his prayers, he shows that he understood God's all people's missionary purposes, at least in one time of his life. He prayed for foreigners who were coming to pray, and he said in 2 Chronicles 6, verse 33, "Then hear from heaven, from your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order, for the purpose of, so that all the peoples on the earth may know your name and fear you as do your people Israel, and that they may know that the house which I have built is called by your name." So he prayed that God would hear the prayer of the foreigners, so that all the peoples may know your name and fear you. In Psalm 67, the writer dedicates a whole psalm to God's all people's missionary purposes. Psalm 67, we'll read verse 1 to 7. "May God be gracious to us and bless us, and may his face shine upon us." Selah, think about it, consider it, "that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all the nations. And let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth." Selah. "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him." Do you hear me? Hear how many times he said the same thing? He says, "May all your ways be known on the earth, your salvation among all peoples. May all peoples praise you. May God bless us so that all the ends of the earth will fear him." All people's promises. Think about David in Psalms 86 and verse 9. David said this, "All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name." Every nation will come and worship before the throne. That includes every nation as we know it today. Psalms 96, verse 3. "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deed among all peoples." God said to Israel in Isaiah 11, verse 9, he says, "For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And that's complete. the knowledge of the Lord. The earth will be filled with it. In Isaiah 49 and verse 6, it says, is it too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and bring back the preserved of Israel? I will make you, speaking to Israel, I will make you a light for the nations that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. So God's desire was to make Israel a light for all the world, that his salvation would be known to the ends of the earth. In Isaiah 56 and verse 7, it says, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. So God intends that his church would be praying for the nations of the world, for all peoples. In Ezekiel 38, verse 23, it says, I will show my greatness and my holiness and make myself known in the eyes of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. That's what God will do. He's going to make himself known in the sight of many nations. Look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. I saw in night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days, the Father, and was presented before him. And to him, Jesus, was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one shall that shall not be destroyed. And that's really a picture of Jesus' second coming. He will approach God the Father, and all nations and peoples and languages will serve Jesus. And his power and his authority will never pass away. Just turn to the first picture. Yeah, thank you. About 5 years ago, I was preaching in the Congo, and we had about 60 or 70 pastors, some walking from as far as about 11 kilometers away to be at these meetings, and then be there for the meeting, eat lunch with us, be with us in the afternoon, and go back, and then come back every day. That we did that for 3 days. At one time at the meeting, somebody. I saw kids get out, and the school was getting out, and the Congolese were there. And so at the very end, one of those kids came up to me, but that kid was an adult leader. In fact, he was a chief of the Pygmies. He stands about this high, so he's really very short. Pastor Randy would be like Goliath. I'm just a big guy to him, but you know, that's the life. So he said to me, would you come to our village? And we said, yes. So we went up to the village. We made contact for the first time. They only speak Pygmy, but a few people can understand Swahili. So we worked between English, Swahili, and Pygmy. We made contact with them. We saw their lives. We talked about them. I shared the gospel. We prayed for them. Nobody was ready to receive the Lord. We left it there. A year later, we came back. Third time we came back. And this this March, we were back in the Congo again. And now that Pygmy has a church village called Nyamukubi, has a church, and there's about, I'm not exactly sure, I want to say 45 believers or so in that church. They have a pastor. He is the pastor not because he's trained, but because he can read. Yeah, among the Pygmies, there is no electricity. There's no education. They do not have a language that is in a written form. There is no portion of the Bible. They have no hospitals. They have no running water. They everything they do, they live by bow and arrow and by whatever the ground produces. And they live separate from the rest of the Congolese, deep in the jungles. But they're beginning to come closer to civilization. This group of Pygmies now is worshiping the Lord. We did a two-day pastors and leaders seminar. This place is called Kulungu. And in Kulungu was where we went last year for the first time. We went up there. I was the first white person they ever saw in their lives. And I've been in Congo now probably for five times for each 3 weeks, so whatever that comes out to. I've never seen another white person, never once, in the entire time I was there. So they were quite shocked to see my white skin, and all the kids wanted to see if it's real or, you know, what happened and what went wrong. And I just tell them, well, God must have not kept this in the oven long enough, and pulled this out too quick. Anyway, so we went up there and we shared. 32 people came to the Lord that day. We preached the word. We spent time with them. We spent the whole day with them. And then we worked out people to follow up as much as we can. Well, we just went back to that same village, and both villages. This is Kalungu. And can you do the second slide there? Or is this the second one?
The second one's right here.
Yeah, okay, this is the second one. And now there is a pastor in that church, and they have a youth worker, and they also have a choir. I don't have any pictures of that, but that's anyway there. And so God is growing his church, even though they have no portion of the Bible. The pastor is the pastor because he can read Swahili and interpret it to Pygmy. So you can see that this is, God is doing some amazing things. In this last time that we went, we preached the gospel in seven different locations, three of them being Pygmy locations and four of them being Congolese locations. We saw 110 people give their hearts to Jesus. We saw a church established for the first time, and God is building his kingdom among the Pygmies. And it's so, so exciting. Let's look at the Great Commission in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Behold, I'm with you always. Jesus said, all authority had been given to me. You know, when we go out to do the work of Christ, we have the authority to do his works. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. He said to the disciples, I have given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will hurt you. So we are called to go and make disciples of all nations. And we know disciples are made and not born. We need to not just do evangelism, we need to see churches planted in order that followers can be discipled. And God wants to see alive, growing bodies among every people group in the world today. And the local church is God's chosen way to feed his flock and to carry on his work. So in order to make disciples, we must first be committed disciples and committed to God's all people's missionary purposes. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and teaching them to observe everything I commanded. We need to be doers of his words. And he said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He promises to be with us. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we don't have to be afraid of going to a place where the gospel is never gone, because greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at the Great Commission, the Gospel of Mark. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. God says, go. In other words, he expects his church to implement the victory he has won in the world. There's approximately 195 countries in the world today. And Jesus finished the work of providing redemption for the sins of every one of those countries. And now we've been given the challenge to carry that message to every people. Where's the scope? Into all the world. How far do we go? Every village on this planet needs a chance to hear and understand and be discipled in God's word. To preach the good news to all creation, preaching the simple gospel, the word of God. That's what we did. We preached the simple gospel. In fact, when I started talking to in Kalungu, when I started talking, where did I start? God created the world, because they never heard of it. They had worshipped all sorts of things all their lives and didn't know any kind of God. So I started, God created the world. That's where we began our testimony about Jesus from the very beginning. And it was simple. And yet God opened their eyes. In Mark 16, 19, it says, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message of the company. So when they went out and preached everywhere, God worked with them. Faith for salvation rose up. Healings took place. And that's what we need to be. We need to be preaching the simple gospel of Christ. In Luke 24, 46 to 49, it says, the Christ should suffer on the third day and rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in all his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I'm sending you the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city to be clothed with power from on high. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. You know what? In America, I think people don't like to hear the word repent. But that's a biblical word. That's what the word, John the Baptist started his ministry with repent. Jesus started his ministry with the repent. We need to call people to repentance. More and more, I'm seeing that just call people to repentance. Bring them, give them the chance to respond, and they will respond. He says, and you are witnesses of these things. And that's the truth, friends. We are witnesses, and our actions speak louder than our words. What we do with our lives says more about the God we serve than what we say. So the question is not whether you are a witness or not. The question is, what kind of a witness are you? Jesus said, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city. What does he promise? The Holy Spirit. But stay in the city, it's been clothed with power from on high. So God wants us to go out and be filled and refilled with the Spirit. He says, do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Zechariah, he says, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So now let's look at the Great Commission in the Gospel of John. John 20, verse 21. Then Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. In other words, we're to go out like Jesus did, with the same mental attitude that Jesus had towards the power of darkness. Offensively attacking the enemy. Taking initiative to destroy the works of the devil. Paul sums up the ministry of Jesus in this, in Acts 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You see, Jesus had a perspective of advancement, a confident knowledge of the Father's anointing and the promises of God, a radical determination to push back the kingdom of darkness. And we can see the same perspective in the life of Paul. In 2 Corinthians 10, 15 to 16, he says, our hope is that as your faith in increases, our area of influence among you will greatly expand so you can preach the gospel in the regions beyond. That is my passion. I want to keep preaching the gospel in the regions beyond. I want to go to where the doors are, and I want to kick them down in the name of Jesus, with Jesus' power, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and see people who have been in captivity for centuries be set free, like the pygmies have just been happened. Yeah, hallelujah. Paul said in Acts 26, 17 and 18, he says, talking about Paul's own call upon his life, he says, I'm sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. That's what we're doing. We need to take enemy ground for the kingdom of God. We need to aggressively attack the strongholds of the enemy. I'm not talking about positive thinking. I'm not talking about self-confidence, but a bold confidence based on the Word of God and the character of the Most High God. You see, God wants His church to push back the powers of darkness, to demonstrate the power and authority of the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus did, and in the same way, Jesus wants to send us out. And finally, in the book of Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. The Bible says they were to go to all the people, Samaria. They hated the Samaritans. Jews treated them like dogs, called them dogs. And yet they were to go to places where they would not allow prejudice and discrimination to reside in their hearts. And we also need to have that same commitment to cross cultural boundaries to bring the light of the gospel. Let's go skip one. Yeah, let's stay right there. Here in the country of Burundi, I just tell you this little story. We were walking, there's four of us walking, and Burundi's right on the equator, right? So the equatorial storms can come in. And it had been beautiful, no cloud in the sky for weeks on end. And we'd already been there for a couple weeks. And we started walking. We're going from village to village to preach the gospel, just to go into the houses. And all of a sudden, like unbelievably fast, a black cloud came in and started pouring rain, and we weren't ready for it at all. So we thought, we need to find shelter. We're going to be drenched. So we ducked into the very first house. When we got into the house, the man there welcomed us in. He had probably never seen a white person before. They welcomed us in, and we began talking with them through translation. And in an hour, I led the father and the three oldest kids to the Lord. And it happened because of a rainstorm. It was not planned. God was directing us. You know, God is going to finish the Great Commission. In Matthew 24:14, he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed through all the world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come." Nothing will be able to stop the hand of God from bringing his salvation to every people group. God is so determined to do this that he has declared that he will not come back until the gospel of the kingdom has been preached to the whole world. And don't think it has. Do not believe that. It has not gone to every people group. That's why we must take the responsibility of being channels to bring the light into the darkness. In Isaiah 26, it talks about him casting. Let's go ahead. Let's go back. Let's skip that. Let's go. Yeah, we'll go to Philippians 2. That's pretty good. In Philippians 2, we know that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God. In Zechariah 14:9, it says, "And the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day, the Lord will be one and his name one." In Revelation 7, I close with this so that we can have time. "After this, I looked, and behold," and I love this scripture, "and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Friends, God wants to give us a fresh release of his heart for world missions. And that means embracing it. And that means maybe going to world missions in other countries, such as in intercession, or going as a team, or going with others, or supporting people, or standing with it. We want to ask you, Calvary Chapel, West Seattle, be, and I don't know what you're doing, and maybe you're doing a lot, and that could possibly be, but let's embrace. Can we embrace a new level of God's heart for world missions today? Amen? All right, I'm just going to pray, and then I'm turning it over to Pastor Randy. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you are the greatest missionary who ever lived. And you've called us to be your witnesses into all of creation, to go and preach the good news to all of creation. You said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, teaching them to obey everything I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." That is the commission you gave us. That is the privilege we've been given, to be a part of extending your all people's kingdom purposes to every nation, every people group, every language of the world. And one day, when it's all over, Lord, we look forward to seeing our brothers and sisters from Congo, from Burundi, from Mongolia, from Nepal, from India, from Mexico, from wherever it would be. We look forward, because that is part of your kingdom. Lord, we love you today. Would you release to us a new level of your heart passion to see all people come to know you? And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.